Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. I am still looking for the Jared Stillman petition with 800 signatures, apparently, to get me off the radio. I'd like to know where this is, but I guess it doesn't exist. I Googled it, couldn't find it. Somebody, by the way, has invaded my text line and is replying without. See, I believe at the radio station, since we all have access to the text line, we should all sign our name when we send a text back. If I send a text on the text line, I reply with -JS. Now, I know this is Adam Vingan, but he will not sign his name, I guess, because he's a coward and doesn't want it out there. But apparently Adam Vingan is also trying to find where the Jared Stillman petition to get me off the radio is. And if I incorrectly accused Adam, then I apologize, but I don't think I did. So today the big news is, the big story is, Will Levis quit on the Titans. Will Levis opted to have shoulder surgery after injuring his shoulder last year against Miami. He has opted to have the shoulder surgery, even though he said the next week, oh, no, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm ready to play. Put me out there, coach. And now, 9 months later, he's ready to say, oh, no, I need the surgery. Will Levis not being available for this upcoming season does not bother me. Will Levis, in my opinion, wasn't going to play anyways. Again, this idea of a quarterback controversy versus him and Cam Ward, Cam Ward just got paid $40 million. There was not a controversy between the two. There was not a competition. I think the competition for Levis was going to be with Brandon Allen, and I think that was a competition he was going to lose. I think the reason Levis decided to get the surgery is to save face so he doesn't have to go compete against Brandon Allen and subsequently lose to Brandon Allen. So it doesn't bother me that Will Levis isn't going to be out there this upcoming season for the Titans. It doesn't bother me that there's one less person in the quarterback room getting reps during camp and the preseason. And let me say this, even though I don't think Levis would have mattered to the team, him playing in the preseason games would have made the boring preseason games more interesting. It would have helped pass the time as we get juiced up for football season to watch Levis play quarterback than it will be to watch Tim Boyle. But that doesn't really bother me either. It doesn't really bother me that Levis lied to the coaches last year before the Indy game and got up to the podium and blamed his injury on his crappy performance and now 8-9 months later says he's still hurt. But I do think that reveals his character. What bothers me is the character of Will Levis. And apparently how the organization for a year just lapped everything that loser set up. Remember when Amy fired Mike Vrabel and she did that sit down with Mike Keith and she told the fans a reason to be excited is we have a young quarterback, and people around the NFL heard that and were like, wait a minute, what? Like, Levis is okay, but I wouldn't be telling the fans, hey, we got a young quarterback. No, you say that when Jaden Daniels is your quarterback, not Will Levis. But Amy couldn't help herself. She just lapped it up. Rand Carthon laps it up with Will Levis so much, he was defending Will Levis even after he got fired. Well, you know, Will's had 5 offensive coordinators in 5 years and can't blame Will and can't this, that, and the other. Brian Callahan did a sit-down, did a podcast interview in which he said Will Levis was a big part of the reason why he took the Titans' job. This town was ablaze with Will Levis propaganda and the idea that this loser, who again doesn't want to compete for the backup quarterback job, was going to be the next Brett Favre. And it took how many games to realize that he was a total phony who would cower the instant the game ramped up? And yet, for a year, everybody around here just ate it up. I talked to a former general manager last year. I was like, do you realize these Titan fans think Will Levis is going to be the next Dan Marino? And the former GM said, yeah, apparently everybody in that town seems to think a lot more of him than everybody else in the league. I'll never forget doing the draft simulations before the 2024 draft when I said, okay, if Drake May falls, and there were some rumors that Drake May might fall, if Drake May falls to 7, what do you do? And Tim Hasselbeck is saying, take him! If Drake May falls, you take him! And everybody is saying, why would you do that, Jared? You have Will Levis! I knew Levis was a phony the second he got up there before the Jets game. And he mentioned DeMario as part of their defense when there was nobody named DeMario on their team. At that exact moment, before week two, I thought to myself, oh, holy hell. Why? Because if Will Levis had really been putting in the work to get ready for the Jets, he would have known who's on their team. And yet last year, the Titans just defended that loser tooth and nail. Even over the DeMario thing. Somebody from the Titans reached out to me and was like, he just made a mistake. It's like you say, you think you've never made a mistake on the radio before, Jared? When you're a quarterback in the NFL and you're playing a team, the only thing that matters to you at that point in time, this is Wednesday. The Bears game was Sunday. The Jets game is the following Sunday. By that Wednesday, you need to know absolutely everything about that Jets team. Everything. Kirk Cousins has binders that are stacked up, notebooks on each team from each year, so that when he goes back to get ready for another team, he can say, okay, this is when I played him last year. Here were my notes at the time. This is what we saw last year. This is what they did to us here. This is what they did to us there. Ben Johnson called a play against the Chicago Bears last year in which he saw run against the Bears 2 years prior to that and decided, hey, it worked for that team. Let's try it for this team. That is the level of preparation and knowledge you've got to have in the NFL. And Will Levis gets up there before the Jets game after he became a national embarrassment for that way he lost the Chicago game. And he starts talking about DeMario. And nobody else, except for me, seemed to have a massive problem with that. I was sitting there listening to the press conference because it was while we were on the air. And we're running the press conference live. And I'm looking at Ian, and I hear Levis talk about, oh, yeah, that defense, they're so good. DeMario's doing a great job for them. And I'm like, DeMario? Who is DeMario? Is there a DeMario on the Jets? I asked Ian, I said, is there a DeMario on the Jets? And he was like, I don't know. And I went and looked it up. They didn't have a DeMario on their team. Levis wasn't putting the work in. But Jared, he gets there at 3 in the morning, and I don't care. If you don't know who's on their team, after you've already had a practice getting ready for them, you're not doing the work. But again, the Titans defended that loser tooth and nail. And Levis isn't the only loser on the Titans who this organization just absolutely bows down to and kisses the feet of. There's Jeffrey Simmons. He doesn't have to get any sacks or win any games for the Titans. But according to everybody over there, he's a superstar and he's our team leader. Brian Callahan said today, nobody wants to win more than Jeffrey Simmons. Why? Based off of what? How do you know nobody wants to win more than Jeffrey Simmons? Jeffrey Simmons wasn't going to OTAs. You mean to tell me he wants to win more than Tony Pollard? Nobody wants to win more than Jeffrey Simmons. He's our team leader. He's great. Why? Because he drives a nice car? What does Simmons do that makes him so great? But again, over there, it's like, ladies and gentlemen, King Jeff is approaching. All hail King Jeff and his 5 sacks this season. And then there's L'Jarius Sneed. While his teammates are trying to win a divisional game, he's out there allegedly shooting up car dealerships in Texas. Oh, and by the way, I heard TD on the midday show today. He's still hurt. But don't ask Brian Callahan or Denard Wilson about that, because they'll tell you how great Legarius Sneed's doing. Loser, loser, loser. That's my problem with this organization. They fall in love with losers. They fall in love with selfish football players who are there for a check, who don't want to compete, who don't want to be held accountable, and who certainly will not hold themselves accountable. There was DeAndre Hopkins last year throwing a pity party on the sideline of the Buffalo game because he wasn't getting the ball and because the team stunk. So what did the Titans do? Brian Callahan went to the media, lied about DeAndre Hopkins being hurt, and then they traded him to Kansas City for a bag of footballs, because with the Titans, you don't have to be a good team player to get your way. In fact, good team players don't get rewarded in Tennessee. Every general manager and every coach says that they want to have selfless guys who put the team first. But all the Titans have shown us recently is that that really doesn't matter. Ryan Tannehill was a good team player, and the Titans rewarded him by putting Andre Dillard at left tackle, blowing his ankle up, and then saying, we're going to put the other guy in instead of you. Never threw the organization under the bus. What did the Titans do for Ryan Tannehill? Derrick Henry, great team player. Never blamed that horrible offensive line for the fact that he was getting hit 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Never blamed that horrible Todd Downing. Never blamed the fact that they traded away the only good wide receiver they had to take any pressure off of him. And they said, we don't want Derrick anymore. And then he just went to Baltimore and almost ran for 2,000 yards. They never rewarded Derrick Henry. They never paid Derrick Henry at the top of the market as a running back. Baltimore could have paid Derrick $8 million this year. They gave him a raise and a contract for next year because they value Derrick Henry and the team player he is. Kevin Byard, one of the best team players in Tennessee Titans history, one of the best representatives for the Tennessee Titans, the guy who always got up there when things weren't going well, the guy who always said the right things, the guy who always supported his teammates, the guy who, even when he was in a contract dispute for the Titans, you could feel how much it hurt him for that to be public information. They traded him for a bag of footballs while his newborn was fighting for his life in the NICU. The Titans culture is the exact opposite of how you'd want any winning team to operate. Everybody over there only cares about themselves. Nobody puts the team first. Jeffrey Simmons doesn't get any sacks. Instead of saying, we all have to be better, starting with me, he says, I did my job, blame them. Legarius Sneed says, I'm the healthiest I've been. He'll be on the PUP list. And Will Levis lied to the coaching staff last year and said that his shoulder was okay before the Indy game, and then went through the rest of last year and the entire offseason program before deciding on the eve of training camp, my shoulder still hurts. I'm going to get the surgery because I don't want to have to fight for the backup job. And for some reason, this organization loves propping those guys up. This organization loves highlighting the losers. And now you wonder why you're the worst and most irrelevant team in the NFL. That's why. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. That's what bothers me about the Titans and the Will Levis story. Not the fact that Will Levis isn't going to be out there this year. I couldn't give a rat's ass about that. He sucks. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in here on the program. So the Titans, speaking of their PR and everything else, the Titans did put out, and I'm sure Titan fans that are just fired up for camp, their little docuseries, the Titans of Tennessee, their YouTube series. They put out an edition today. I watched it so you don't have to, but we got to talk about this. I mean, we got to talk about this behind-the-scenes hype show they put out there that was so cringy. I'm just going to tell you, if Floyd saw it, he'd be embarrassed. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
The quarterback room is...
it's a sacred place.
They're all getting opportunities, and I think the takeaway is that they've all made the most of those chances they've had, and it's been a good process this spring.
The dynamic in the quarterback room has been great because they're all so different in their backgrounds.
Gen Alpha.
We have two young players in our room with Cam, who's a rookie, with Will, who's going into his third year. And then you got two veteran players.
Give him a chance. That guy's going to make that play.
You know, Brandon Allen's been in the league for 10 years, and Tim Boyle's been around for a while, too. So they got great perspective.
Good placement, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's different than any other position because it's the only position where only one of you plays. Whereas every other position has at least two or three guys that play, sometimes more. All of those guys are high-level competitors. They all want to be the guy that has the ball in their hand.
And that competition kind of brings out the best in them. You know, they're competing. We grade every throw that we make in practice.
A, B, C.
This?
I said A.
It was a B and a C.
We see from the back.
C. You're being great, boys, on this one. Let's not get past this.
A ball.
It's an A.
That's an A ball.
It's a B ball. When you grade literally every throw.
A ball.
That's an A ball.
A.
B.
B ball.
They all want to win, and they want to win each throw.
B.
B.
B ball.
You got a C ball.
You can't say. Everybody can't say B.
I gotta be honest. That guy made a great catch.
I missed it. Was it a good throw?
On the flip side, though, what's unique about the quarterback room is they're all in there trying to help each other. Yeah, I want to perform really well when it's my time, but when it's not, let me see if I can help you do a better job with what you're doing.
Tell them where to go.
Brian Callahan, you know what's great about this quarterback room? Is they're selfless but competitive. An hour before that piece dropped, the Titans of Tennessee, the new miniseries they have, which feels totally coach-inspired. It feels like Brian Callahan's trying to put together a pep rally video for the fans. I don't understand it. I think it's ridiculous. I've noticed that Brinker and Borgonzi haven't been in the first two, you know, like where they've done a sit-down interview, which makes me think it's not their idea, makes me think it's Callahan's. An hour before that came out, the Will Levis news that Will Levis didn't want to compete for the backup job because he is both selfish and not competitive had come out. Very ironic. So I watched this 25-minute behind-the-scenes hype video, which I do want to thank the Titans for keeping it at 25 minutes. The Vrabel one was like an hour and a half. The Patriots released, so thank you, Titans, for 25 minutes. But it was so cringy that I had to text Floyd's daughter-in-law and Ian to say, and you guys know how I feel about assuming how Floyd would have felt about things, because I have no idea how Floyd would have felt most of the time. But I watched this and I thought, if Floyd saw this, he'd be so embarrassed. And I know Floyd comes from a different era, but the thing starts with them asking all the coaches, how would you describe the Titans offense? And Brian Callahan was like, well, we want to be an explosive offense, and we want to be, and all I could hear when I heard him say that was, ha, 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 ha. Everybody wants to be an explosive offense. Ha, 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 ha. Do you have the players to be an explosive offense? And the answer, of course, is no. But then I watched it. And it just, I don't want to say it got my blood boiling, because at this point, I know that this is what Callahan is. He's corny. He's a loser coach. Like, it's now proof's in the pudding. But he starts off the video by tripling down on the off-season competition program that is going to be so dynamic for the football team that Jeffrey Simmons didn't even show up to. This was Callahan 3 minutes into this Titans behind-the-scenes video.
One of the things I felt like lacked from our season last year was we just needed more out of the time we were together here in the off-season and in training camp. How do we better connect our team? I showed a clip to our team, Steve Kerr, talking about what wins in his experiences is you obviously have to have good players,
But the joy and competition are the two things that he's always talked about.
Nice ball. Almost there, Hook. Right on it. You're right on it. Out the gate.
There we go, there we go.
That's it. Good job.
So a route that I've never done before. I've not seen done a lot of different places, so I think it's a bit unique to us, which is exciting. As we divided our team into eight different teams, so each team has a captain and an alternate.
Well, Morgan, you guys are hanging on to a lead. Hanging on to a lead.
There's about 11 to 12 players and usually 2 to 3 coaches on every single team. We'll have an off-season winner, team total, and then we'll have a training camp winner with a team total, and so we compete at everything.
Okay, so he's doubling down on it. So Callahan came out with this at the beginning of the offseason program. We laughed. We made fun of it. We called it Disney, you know, stealing from Coach Boone and Remember the Titans. We laughed about it, the four H's. I mean, I think I told this on the radio. If I didn't, I think I can say this. The last, when this came out, of this stupid offseason competition that the Titans are putting out there, because Callahan, he clearly thinks it's going to make a difference during the football season, even though Jeffrey Simmons chose not to participate in any of this. But when Callahan put this out there, the Yankees AAA team, Scranton, was in town. They were playing the Sounds. My roommate from college is the first base coach for the Scranton AAA Yankee team. And so we did the show from First Horizon Park, like we're going to do it this week, like we do it all the time when the Sounds are in town. And after the show was over, I went downstairs into the Yankee clubhouse. And I was just chatting with the coaches. I'm in this guy's wedding in October, the pitching coach or one of the other, one of the other coaches. He's in the wedding too. So we're just kind of all shooting the breeze in the coach's locker room at First Horizon Park. And they said to me, so what'd you talk about on the radio today? And I said, you guys aren't going to believe this, but Brian Callahan has come up with this FRCACTA off-season competition program that he actually thinks is going to make a difference for winning and losing with grown men with this made-up, Tony Pollard doesn't even know what the prize is if they win, and these Yankee coaches all sat there and laughed. Like, what? Like, I mean, come on. These guys are coaching AAA players. You want to know what gets these guys excited? They don't go to them and say, hey, we're going to give you 3 bonus points. No, they say, hey, if you do what we tell you, you might get to the big leagues. That's what matters. Your batting average matters. Your home runs matter. That's what matters. And so they even laughed about it. So we laughed for 2 months about this thing. Jeffrey Simmons took his pants off, stuck his ass in the face of this, saying, I don't think I need it. I'm not even going to show up. And Callahan's putting out a video where right away he tells you how important this is. He's not backing off this. Total stoogery. Then they decide, I couldn't believe this. I could not believe this part. This part. They spent a segment of the show talking about the importance of smack-talking each other during practice. Play the cut.
Hey, Cam, hey, you remember what I told you yesterday? Remember when I told you yesterday doing this stretch? I said I was going to get 5 sacks. I told you what was going to happen. Well,
Jeff, I heard he's a big smack talker guy, so there's going to be some words exchanged.
There's nobody that wants to win on our football team more than Jeff does.
The chirping back and forth, those are the things that you love in football, right?
Hey, you look good at 7-on-7.
But you can tell he's doing it from a sense of, hey, I wanted to see if this young buck is what he's really made of.
As much as Jeff likes to talk during practice, I think we found out that we have another guy that likes to talk probably just as much.
We're going to talk smack each day, all day.
Jeff.
Oh, I love it.
What's it, do you?
It's competition.
What's the point of playing something that you love you can't have fun with?
Bantering competitively and having fun and enjoying playing football, which is the best part of it.
Some of the stuff I can't say we'll be saying out there on the field. We talking smack to each other. Callie giving a call.
A little bit of a long call, Cam. Stay with me.
When I'm calling a play, it's all he's doing all he's doing, but he's listening to everything I'm telling him. And he enters right into the huddle when he calls a play and doesn't script a play call. And so I asked him after practice, and I said, I just help me out here. Do you need me to wait till you finish? And he goes, no. Nah. He goes, I'm listening.
But he hearing the call while he talking smack to me and gave the call and threw a bomb to Rhea. So
with that sort of competitiveness, it ramps up the energy of the entire practice. And I think all the other guys respond in turn.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting here thinking about, man, they are putting a hype video where they're like, you know, a big part of what we're trying to do here is smack talk. You know, that's really going to be important for us. It's going to be important for us to talk smack. Could you imagine Mike Vrabel if you went to him and said, you know, coach, I think the team needs more smack talk? How he would have reacted to that. Nick Saban. And that's when it hit me watching this today. Again, the 25 minutes of the behind-the-scenes stuff with Callahan and his coaches. And it hit me. You know, when we think of certain coaches, we call them no-nonsense guys. Nick Saban is a no-nonsense guy, right? Alabama once had a behind-the-scenes show featuring Nick Saban. In fact, Floyd and I were very much featured in that with an interview we did with Saban that ESPN picked up. But in this documentary, I think it was called Training Day Rolling with the Tide, it had Nick Saban talking about practice. And Nick Saban explained to the coaches that in the coaches' meeting, coaches can meet for an unlimited amount of time. So if you've got any questions about the drill, I need you to ask me right now. Because in the meetings with the players, I need you to explain to the players what to do. So if the players get out on the practice field and they know what to do, we don't have to waste any time coaching them up on the drill. We can just get right into the drill and we can maximize the amount of time that we have with the players on the football field. And Saban was riding these coaches, basically saying, I need to know right now or I'm going to get in your ass if I have to waste practice time to waste time to explain a drill to a player. A no-nonsense coach. Brian Callahan is an all-nonsense coach. That's all he is. That's all it is when it comes to Callahan is he is all-nonsense. Oh, this competition. Oh, the smack talk. Oh, the... It's just all nonsense. And that's all he cares about. Last year, they didn't have a right tackle. It's like, you don't have a right tackle and your quarterback sucks. And in the 1 2-minute drill rep you got against Seattle when they were in town for joint practices, your quarterback threw an interception and you didn't seem to care about it. Yeah, that doesn't matter. He doesn't take the serious stuff seriously and he cares about the nonsense. Whenever you think about a coach and you think about a no-nonsense coach, Vrabel, Saban, Belichick before he went crazy, when you think of that coach, Callahan is the opposite. He is the all-nonsense coach. Yeah, sit here and waste time talking about, I think that the smack talk is good for our team. Really? You're trying to relay the play into Cam Ward, and Cam Ward is busy talking smack. But it's okay because Cam Ward said, no, coach, I'm listening to you while I'm talking smack. Do you really buy that? So when you have to burn a timeout at Denver because Cam Ward's not listening to you call the play, or you call the play, he didn't listen, so he tells them something totally different, now what are you going to do? Again, you think Mike Vrabel would have ever been okay with a player talking smack on the practice field while he himself is talking directly to the player? Of course not. But Vrabel's a no-nonsense guy. Saban's a no-nonsense guy. Callahan is an all-nonsense guy. So you can watch it if you want. But this behind-the-scenes thing just, again, proved to me how unserious Brian Callahan is. The only coach on that staff, now they only did the offensive coaches, the only coach on that staff that I watched this video and I'm like, I think this guy's an actual football coach, was Bo Hardigree. The only one, the quarterback's coach. He was the only one that I watched that and I'm like, this guy is serious. He's talking about footwork. He's talking about development and drills. He's holding guys accountable. Like, hey, that was a B pass instead of an A pass. Bo Hardigree is the only guy I watch, and I thought that guy's actually coaching football. Everybody else, I feel like, is a peewee coach getting the orange slices and the Capri Suns ready. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones. 615-737-1025. Our big, long commercial-free segment is next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
We've sat down and talked about the four H's, which is really important here, talking about a player's history, you know, his heroes, his heartbreaks, his hopes.
It allows guys to have a little bit of vulnerability. And when you're here, I think that builds that relationship and that camaraderie that everybody talks about. And that's definitely what you need, because the chemistry off the field is definitely something that helps build it when you're on the field.
And, you know, when the game's over for these guys, they're not going to remember, you know, who they blocked or what touchdown they had in any particular game. They're going to remember the camaraderie they had, the relationships that they had, the bonds that they built with other people. That's what they're going to remember.
Even Bill Callahan's on this? Oh, God. Again, like I said, we should keep a counter at training camp this year. When Callahan says things like, remember last year when Calvin Ridley and Will Levis couldn't connect, and Callahan's, oh, that doesn't matter. And, well, it was hot out there. And again, this goes back to the fact that what I've decided now is that Brian Callahan is an all nonsense coach. That again, some coaches are no nonsense. Like, hey, what are you doing right now? Well, I was picking my ass because I was, well, how's that going to help us beat the Broncos? It's not. Get back to work. And those are the no-nonsense coaches. I mean, I remember when Vrabel took over and he made fun of the fact that the year before Mike Mularkey had a movie night where the Titans went out, you know, took the team to a movie during training camp. And I thought that was a little unwarranted as far as the criticism of movie night, but Vrabel was a no-nonsense coach. So, like, any wasted time, we're not doing, I'm not, whatever. This guy is an all-nonsense coach. If he could cancel practice on Wednesday to have movie night, he'd do it. Because he thinks movie night is going to win them games, whereas I think being able to get the ball out on time is more important. That's just me. And again, it goes back to the culture of this team that I think is a complete and total train wreck. One texter into the text line said, and our phone line is here by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, why do I get the vibe that Brian Callahan would be the best youth counselor at a vacation Bible school camp for middle schoolers and yet is an NFL head coach? Awful. So I've said this 100 times, but I'm going to say this again. Vrabel was mean. So they went out to go hire the exact opposite of Vrabel. They went from a no-nonsense coach to an all-nonsense coach. That's why. I mean, I watch the Netflix docuseries Quarterback that just came out where it features Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, and Joe Burrow. And, I mean, my wee-wee gets erect watching Joe Burrow be a quarterback because he's so genuine with his teammates. He's so brutally honest about his own performance. He's so accountable. And then I watch this loser, Zach Taylor, which is where Callahan learned this from. I watch Zach Taylor coach him. And I just think, what a waste. What a waste coaching Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Burrow understands the game. Joe Burrow, you know, is just kissing Jamar's ass the entire show because he knows that relationship is the most important relationship. You know, at one point during the game, they needed a big stop on defense. And Joe Burrow's looking up there and he says, Trey, where you at? And Trey Hendrickson comes out and gets a sack. Joe Burrow's the coach of that team. Like, that, he's the coach. And so you hired the guy from Cincinnati, but the guy from Cincinnati learned from the guy at Cincinnati who doesn't actually coach because Joe Burrow does all the coaching. Again, Zach Taylor, he's a nonsense guy. And that's why Joe Burrow doesn't listen to him. There was a cut after the Titans game where Joe Burrow's just telling Zach Taylor, you know, screw off. I don't need to hear your positive sunshine pumping because we played terrible today. Because again, Joe Burrow, he doesn't deal with the nonsense. Oh, it gets me so worked up. One texter says, when Callahan said, do you need me to wait? In reference to Cam Moore talking smack, I said, what the F? I am a boss at work, and if I am talking and someone is not listening, things are going to go in a different direction. That's for sure. I feel the same way. You know, Callahan's like, Cam Warden, Jeff Simmons talk so much trash that I have to ask Cam, hold on, Cam, do you want me to wait? You want to keep talking trash where I get the play call in? I'm like, could you imagine Bill Walsh? And I read Bill Walsh's book. Bill Walsh one time just laid in to Mike Holmgren. Because Joe Montana made a pass in practice, and it was about a tenth of an inch too high. And Holmgren's just coaching us. Hey, good throw, Joe. And Bill Walsh laid into Holmgren in front of everybody, saying that wasn't a good throw. We want the ball on the numbers. If you don't get the ball on the numbers, we got problems. But again, that's a no-nonsense coach, and this is a nonsense coach. 1 texter says, do you think Callahan can tell between real and sarcastic? If I had a teacher or a professor I saw through, I would sarcastically participate to mock them for entertainment. I wonder if there's any of that going on to mock Callahan, and if so, does he even know? I don't think these guys take him seriously. That's for sure. I think that they're like, yeah, we like Callahan, but I mean, it's a joke. One texter says, those cuts have been so bad, cringy doesn't even scratch the surface of me. Here's what bothers me. The amount of people that have carried water for this Callahan off-season competition performance thing, that they're like, well, but you have to understand, Jared, they think this is going to be what carries them over the top. Okay? Well, that's stupid. These are grown men. This made-up competition is not going to get them excited. That's not how this works. 615-737-1025 here on our program. 615-737-1025. Last week, I was off, but I was sick as a freaking dog, thanks in large part, I believe, to my son who got me sick. But I heard two cuts. Speaking of the nonsense when it comes to the Titans, two cuts over the last week in Titan interviews that are exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to the culture of this team. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
I can feel that hunger as you talk about it. Can you give us an idea of what you have on your mantle board, your goal board? What would a great year for Roger McCreary and the Titans look like?
Yeah, usually when people ask me that, I'll be like, it's just to get better every year. That's always been my goal, is just to get better every year. But now it's me trying to be the top. I want to be the top corner. I want to be the top person in the game, the DB that people talk about, because I feel like a lot of people look over me and just don't look at the plays I make on the field. So it's just me trying to show people that I'm out there. I'm on the field. Like I matter, and I'm going to show them that. And going into this season with the Titans, I feel like we're going to show people who we really made of and what we truly are, because I feel like a lot of people don't respect us. They don't talk about the Titans a lot. And I feel like this year, especially with Cam Ward, that guy, that quarterback, I feel like we're going to do good with him.
Roger McCreary on TV. And by the way, I love how he's like, you know, normally I get asked what my goal is. My goal usually is to just get better every day. But this year, I want people to see that I'm one of the best corners in the game. Oh, God. Oh, God. See, this is the culture the Titans have. Me, 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 me. Remember when Christian Fulton did that? Somebody, hey, call Roger McCreary and say, hey, remember Christian Fulton before he was a free agent, the summer of me, when Christian Fulton turned into an absolute pumpkin? Do you really want to be that way? And so there were two interviews, two specific cuts I heard that in each instance just drove me up a freaking wall about, again, we talk about no nonsense. Derrick Henry, no nonsense. People ask Derrick Henry a question at the podium. Derrick, you know, what's your focus this week? Yeah, I'm just trying to get better out there. Like, no nonsense. And now it's all nonsense with the Titans. The first is Jeffrey Simmons on Good Morning Football talking about, again, trash talking and him and Cam Ward.
You know, first off, you know, I think that our team, Tennessee Titans, never get the respect and attention we need. I never seen the number one pick overall never get the respect and, you know, quite frankly, the attention that he deserved. You know, I went to minicamp, and, you know, first off, I met Cam for the first time, who was at a private birthday party that Saturday before the minicamp, the week before minicamp. And we met, and of course, we were talking a little smack then. I was like, I heard you've been slicing the guys up. You've been talking smack. I said, I'm going to bring that to you, too, man. Like, I talk smack. You know, we started there. And then just to be able to get that relationship with him off the field, you know, we chopped it up for a long time. We talked about fishing and things that he liked to do off the field. You know, I think that's what mattered the most for me, is especially young guys trying to gain their relationship with guys off the field to make them feel comfortable. We know that Cam Ward gonna have to play football for this season, and it's my goal and my job to, you know, help him out. Going to year seven, I think I've been the longest tenure Titans, you know, with Tennessee, just to try to make him feel at home from a vet. It's crazy to say that now that, you know, year seven, a vet.
Okay. Everything about that answer I absolutely hated. But the very, very end, you know, hey, that's my job, you know, as a seven-year vet to make Cam Ward feel right at home. That's not your job. Your job is to sack the other team's quarterback and to stop the other team from scoring points. That is your job. Not making Cam Ward feel comfortable. But again, how did that answer start with Simmons? Well, you know, I don't feel like we get enough respect. I don't feel like people talk enough about the Titans. I don't think people are talking about Cam Ward and the number one pick as much as he deserves. Deserves? He hasn't taken a snap in the NFL yet. What are we talking about? The Tennessee Titans have had an MVP. So if you do well in Tennessee, you get talked about. Derrick Henry got talked about. So don't give me this, well, you know, Tennessee, it's unfair. It's not, again, they're all nonsense. Everything Simmons said right there, everything he said I hated. But again, he started off saying the Titans don't get enough respect. You know, we don't get enough respect. You're the worst team in ball. Again, let's worry about what matters. Instead, we're worried about what doesn't matter. Again, you want to be no nonsense. They're all nonsense. But, you know, I met Cam at a private birthday party the week before the mini camp because I didn't go to OTAs. And, you know, I heard you've been talking smack. Well, I'm going to talk smack to you. And I'll tell you, you know, we really got along there, and that's important because that's my job to make Cam feel at home. No, it's not. Everything he said, nonsense. Now, let's use McCreary. I got nothing against McCreary. McCreary has been on the Titans for 3 years, and I feel like for the most part, he's done his job. He's not an elite outside corner. He's more of a good nickel corner. He cannot match up with big, tall receivers on the outside. T. Higgins abused him a couple years ago to where it's like, yeah, against a big, tall receiver, they're just going to throw it up, and McCreary can't do anything about it with his short arms. But he's a decent player. But listen to what McCreary says. Oh, yeah, no, with Cam Ward here, here's my goal this season.
You got a little something for him season if you one. Pick him off in training camp? Talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get him on. He haven't seen much of me in the camp because the young guys out there and stuff. But, yeah, most definitely, I'm going to be out there. I'll try to talk trash to him because that's one thing I would really want to do is talk more trash, get in people's head. And I feel like he's the guy, the perfect guy to help me get at that more, I would say.
Yeah, you know, one thing I'm really focused on this year is Cam Ward's going to help me talk more trash. That's what I'm really worried about here. This season, that's what I got to do is I got to talk more trash. It's all nonsense. Everything the Titans value is nonsense. Everything the coach values is nonsense. Everything the players value, nonsense. Like, imagine if Roger McCreary was like, yeah, you know, my goal this year is I got to be able to play more on the outside because I feel like I physically can go up against some of these bigger, stronger receivers. And I've done well in the past, but I've also had some issues. So this year I want to be – that matters. You know, the fact that, hey, this year I want to be more physical at the line of scrimmage. This year I want to play more on the outside against bigger, taller receivers. This year I want to – that matters. If Simmons were to sit there and say, hey, last year I got 5 sacks, and that's not good enough. This year I want to get after the quarterback more. This year I want to – instead, it's all – we want to talk more trash, and we want to talk fishing, and we want to – it's nonsense. And it comes from the coach because the coach went 3-14 last year and somehow kept his job, and he spent all offseason thinking, what do I need to do to get this team better? And he said, you know what? We're going to embrace more bullcrap, more nonsense. Oh, my goodness. Like, I know that they must not have paid Robbie Bourne enough when he was the PR director of the Titans because I don't ever remember them being this stupid on this consistent of a basis. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So my expectations are out there when it comes to the Titans. I think, again, the official expectations, 4 wins this year. And I'm going to tell you what is going to happen if I'm right and most of you think that they're going to be terrible this year. I am going to tell you what's going to happen. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.